Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. Meantime, we're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us, for hanging around with us today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Good back. Good morning to you. It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
Joan, the 2004 race for the White House, it's not clear who's going to be running for the Democrats yet, is it?
I think that's a fair statement.
We got it
really narrowed down, though.
We got Sneezy, Sleepy, Dopey.
The nine
dwarfs over there?
That's not very nice. Yeah, and the one dwarf in the White House. Right?
Yeah. Okay. I think ours is a little less dangerous. But anyway, we don't know who that's going to be. And shouldn't it be narrowed down? Now we got Lieberman, Gephardt, Dean, Kerry, Edwards, Mosley, Braun, Graham, Sharpton, Kucinich. You didn't think I could do that, did you?
No, I didn't.
And they're all there.
You have to practice all night.
Well, I have a list here in front of me too.
Oh.
But anyway, the thing is, shouldn't some of them be dropping out by now?
Well,
isn't it time to be weeding some of these people out?
Seems a little early, actually. It's only August.
It's just barely over a year before the. It's about a year from the conventions, but.
I think some weeding is going to go on pretty fast because you're going to have a whole raft of primaries early next year, and the Democrats have designed it that way. So we're pretty much going to know who the nominee is by early spring,
mm-hmm.
by March or April.
Yeah. Well, what does Kiplinger say about the way these guys are resonating? Is anybody paying attention? Does anybody care about what these guys are saying?
Well, it's interesting because, this letter came out on August 8th, and we've had some developments right around that time. And what it sounds like is for both the president and the Democrats, people aren't paying attention to the presidential race. They're paying attention to California.
California.
And all that attention on California probably couldn't come at a worse time for the nine Democratic candidates.
It's just sucking the oxygen right out of the air, as they say.
Right, and money.
Yeah. Which is the metaphor for money. Okay, here's something that we just got from Gallup. I just got this week from Gallup. I actually got this off of another Brain Trust member's newsletter, Rich Galen, and he published this Gallup poll results. And of the candidates, Joe Lieberman leads with 18, Gephardt's at 15%. This is among Democrats now. These are Democrats who would vote for these people. 18% for Lieberman, 15% for Gephardt. Dean's at 15, Kerry's at 12, Edwards is at 5, Mosley Braun's at 5, and Graham's at 4, Sharpton's at 4, Kucinich is 2. Guess who leads?
I can't imagine.
Other, et cetera, mm-hmm. leads. That has 19%.
Right.
So this isn't a very attractive stack ranking for these guys.
Well, I don't know what else you would expect with that many candidates in the field. If it was suddenly narrowed down to two, you'd see a much different poll.
Mm-hmm. What's the deal with Mosley, Braun, and Sharpton? Are they just trying to add on to their 15 minutes of fame?
Well, I don't know. At least in Mosley Braun's case, I think she has basically no money. She's raised almost nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand what the point is. Unless they're both, I don't know about Sharpton, but maybe she has some idea that she could end up being the vice presidential candidate. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, many people are saying Dean is the odds-on favorite, that he's being seen as the true Democrat, and he says he represents the Democrat side of the Democrat Party, what does Kiplinger think about that?
Well, actually, we do say advantage Dean, because he has really pushed a real grassroots campaign. And, he's kind of been campaigning on a shoestring, but it's sort of these grassroots passionate followers that have sort of kept his candidacy going. And you don't see that kind of passion with the other candidates.
Well, he's a little bit more of a fresh face, too, isn't he?
In terms of
personality, the others are pretty well known. I know Edwards is not so much, but But he's been around, but the other thing that Dean seems to be identifying himself with is the anti-war candidate.
Well, and he's referred to, I don't know if he's referred to himself this way, but many people have referred to him as the anti-Bush.
The anti, right, exactly.
And yet he can't be tarred completely with a, you know, far-left tag just because he has tried to bring fiscal discipline to his state when he was governor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a pretty good job of
that,
too. But
that message is not really getting out, is it?
Well, it hasn't yet, but I think part of the problem is because he's in a field of nine candidates.
Well, he'll need to move over into that because, you know, there's at least a 50-50 chance a year from now what happened in Iraq could turn out to be, you know, could turn out to be a real positive thing. There could be I think there's at least a 50-50 chance that a year from now that the world could see what happened in Iraq as a good thing. And so Dean needs to have something besides "I'm against the war in Iraq" on his side.
So you think it's only a 50-50 chance?
I would think it's... I say at least 50-50. Yeah.
What about 75-25?
Well, I'll take that. I'll take those numbers. I mean,
no, I want to know if you believe in them.
I personally believe that it's 90-10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think what happened over there, what is happening over there, is the right thing to do on a macro level, on a generational level.
What you believe doesn't really matter. It's what the general public believes.
Well, now, no, but listen, I'm a major opinion shaper here.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I apologize.
Yeah, you lost your head for a minute there. But anyway, it's interesting to see these guys, but they just about the time, you know, the Lacey Peterson thing slows down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of what that situation, folks, but just from the standpoint of it sucking the
oxygen.
No, but
the Lacey Peterson case was this summer's exciting court case.
Well, it went from the war,
off the headlines.
It went from the war to that case and now to California.
Right.
And these guys just can't seem to get in the air, can
they?
That's right. God bless their hearts. What about Nader? Nader got a pie in the face this week. Did you see that?
I saw that. That was
What's
pretty
up with
exciting.
That?
Well, you know, he's... And
was
he's,
that a disgruntled Democrat?
Well, we got a lot of disgruntled Democrats because you could argue a lot of people... A lot of Democrats should be mad at him for siphoning off a lot of votes that otherwise would have gone to Gore in 2000.
Right, right.
And he's threatened to do it again.
That's the truth, and that's really bad news for the Democrats, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe more pies in the offering there, folks. 20 after, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about some things that the government is doing with regard to tax relief for big companies. Is this a good thing for global trade? 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, on page 2, you guys report that there's going to be the end of the export tax breaks will spell broader tax relief for corporations. Now, tell us about that.
Well, for years, the U.S. has subsidized our exporters with a tax break, and
mm-hmm.
The European Union has hated that tax break, and they actually dragged us into the world, the WTO court,
right.
us before
Recently.
Them, and got a judgment in their favor.
Because the tax relief, the tax breaks, were to compensate for the tariffs that our corporations were having to pay, right?
Right. So, I mean, you would think that we're sort of entitled to that. However, the EU claims that that's an unfair trade barrier.
Yeah.
And now this...
And as if a tariff isn't.
Right. And this WTO ruling has given them the authority to slap millions and millions and millions of dollars on us in penalties. So in order to keep that from happening, Congress is desperately trying to get that repealed, but they're not going to repeal it without replacing it with something else,
mm-hmm.
some kind of broader tax break that doesn't apply only to exporters, but that would satisfy the EU as not being an unfair trade barrier, but also give some relief to U.S. companies that are getting really hit hard by these cheap imports.
Which makes me wonder if if small exporters are getting the same, are going to be able to get the same tax treatment?
Well, that's the $64 question. The chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee had introduced a bill last year that really only helped big multinationals. He got really criticized for that. So now he's proposed a bill that would basically lower the top corporate rate about 3.5 percentage points, but that would only apply to companies, I think, with revenues of no more than $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other side, you have Congressmen Rangel and Crane, who have come up with a bill that would help, I guess, all shapes and sizes of companies, but only in the manufacturing sector.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of two competing ways of tackling this, and it hasn't really been decided which direction the Congress will ultimately take.
So here's what happened, folks. The European countries decided that they were going to put up a block on their side of the ocean to our, essentially, which is what a tariff is. It's a roadblock. It's a moat, if you want to, or whatever, some kind of defense against our imports into their countries. They didn't like that, so they wanted to protect their people, so they put up tariffs. So we take evasive action over on our shores in our business, our own accounts, and they take us to the world court. Now that's a little ironic, I think, don't you think, John?
No, no question about it.
Yeah. So and again the Europeans, and I don't mean to try to start a war here, Joan, but you know, the Europeans are the same people who don't want our genetically engineered products. They act like we're trying to poison them as they argue with us while they're sucking down 2 packs of cigarettes a day.
Right. And eating a lot of butter and wine and things like that.
The last place on Earth that you'll have no smoking is going to be in the Middle East, and the next to last place is going to be Europe.
Right.
Because those people can suck down the cigarettes, I'll tell you.
Depending on what you mean about by Europe, because in England and Ireland, you're having a movement towards smoke-free pubs, which is sort of shocking everybody.
That is shocking.
Yes.
What's a Guinness without a cigarette, right?
That's my motto.
Yeah. I've heard you say that before. The IRS is making it easy to use its website, Joan.
I know. Frightening, isn't it?
Yeah. Anytime the IRS does anything to make my life easier, it makes me nervous.
No, this is actually good, though, really. For anyone who has to make, for any self-employed person, an individual who makes estimated tax payments, or even a small business who has to deposit payroll taxes, their website had been sort of user-unfriendly, and it's getting a lot of upgrades and improvements.
Well, and I was just joking a little bit there, folks. I've reported on this show before that if you go to the website, this is not your grandfather's IRS website. It's new and improved, and it's actually kind of trendy. I mean, a little
edgy.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the word. Exactly.
Yeah.
They've been getting jiggy with it over there. That's right.
Yeah.
Now you're right. That's the word I was looking for. Edgy. I'm glad you came up with that word. So check it out when you get a chance, folks. But you can make your tax deposits online, or you've got a chance to do that, so check it out when you get a chance. And of course, that's irs.gov. Okay, let's back to Europe a little bit, Joan. The groundwork, as you say, is being laid for faster economic growth in Europe. Now, what does this mean?
Well, for us, it's really good news, because we've talked about this before. You know, we can't be carrying everybody forever. Somebody else is going to have to help us out in terms of the world economy.
How many years have we been saying that, John?
As long as I've been on this show,
yeah,
I think.
I know it.
But, you know, certain countries, Germany, for example, has been having terrible problems. I think the United Kingdom has been doing somewhat better, but continental Europe has really been having its troubles.
Germany and France are the worst. Italy's having
right.
a tough time, too. And a lot of it is because of the socialistic employment practices they
especially
have
France. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah, bless their little
and,
hearts.
And by the way, it's August, and everybody in France is on vacation.
They're burning up over there.
That's right.
They don't have air conditioning.
Right.
Of course, they're having a Sahara-like heat wave over there, aren't they?
That's right. In Britain and in continental Europe, temperatures they've never seen before on near
100-degree temperatures. These
that's
people
what
are
we're supposed
to do
to
with
having.
That. Yeah. They're sleeping on tile floors, folks. And I heard they're having more wet T-shirt contests, too, Joan. My plane leaves tomorrow,
okay.
29 after. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
He inspires. with small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingay, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Joan Pride's organization, Kiplinger Editors, has an outstanding website called kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.com. And I'd like to encourage you to go there and check it out just as a free source for information, folks. And then also, hopefully, I'd like to encourage you to check out their subscriptions of their weekly flagship letter, which is now in its 80th year, and they also have three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. The Kiplinger letter comes out once a week by email or by regular mail. I've been taking it by mail for many, many years. And, folks, you can subscribe with a 30-day free trial there at Kiplinger.com. And, Joan, you also have a phone number, don't you?
We sure do. We have a toll-free number. It's 800-544-0155.
And also, don't forget their magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, which is available on newsstands. And also has a – is that have a 30-day free trial as well?
I believe it does, yes.
That's a monthly
magazine. I don't
know
if it's called the Blassingame free trial, as the letter trial is called.
I see. Okay, I got you. Yeah, thank you for that.
Sure.
And by the way, folks, September is the official month of the 80th anniversary of the Kiplinger Editors. And I'm going to be in Washington the middle week of September, and we're going to be broadcasting from the Kiplinger building to celebrate their 80th anniversary. Right, Joan?
We sure are. We're looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to have
Knight Kiplinger, who's the grandson founder on the show, who's been with us before, and also his father, who's the son of the founder, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, who's also going to be celebrating his 85th birthday that week. And so I'm looking forward to getting all those guys on. We'll probably even let you be on there that day.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can stand up to all that, all those celebrities.
Oh, you'll be the star that day. But we're looking forward to that day. That's the week, folks. That's the middle of September. That's the week I'm going to be in Washington to help celebrate Small Business Week.
We'll put it on your calendars.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be talking about that more a little bit later on. Okay, Joan, let's get into healthcare issues and talk about some alternative therapies that are winning acceptance from insurers, like acupuncture and massage and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds a little out there, but, you know, acupuncture has, I think, gained acceptance over the years.
Have you had acupuncture before?
I have never had acupuncture. Have you?
No, but I want to. Don't you?
Well, women tend to have it. I won't get into why women.
No, keep going.
I don't think so. I don't think we want to get into
it. Women are more likely to get acupuncture than men?
Are you asking me? Yes, I'm asking you. Well, I don't know, but I think they have more, let's say, plumbing problems that are painful.
Yeah? So acupuncture helps them then, huh?
That's right.
You're not saying that women are higher maintenance than men, are you?
High maintenance men in my life.
But you know what's weird with this acupuncture thing? You got sinus problems and they stick a needle in your toe.
And it works.
Yeah, and it works.
That's so weird.
That's what apparently. I'd like to learn more about that. What about massage? Could I get a foot massage and get it covered by my insurance, Joan?
It sounds that way.
And osteopathy?
I don't know what that is.
Tell us what osteopathy is.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, I thought surely you'd be able to tell us. But anyway, folks, you might want to check this out. And you know, Joan, anything, we've all got to focus more on prevention rather than maintenance, don't we? I mean, not maintenance, but
well, and I think that's
treatment.
What insurers and employers are realizing, that the more, you know, on a slightly more serious note, if you can manage a disease like diabetes or something like that, or even make sure people watch their weight so they don't get to the point where they get diabetes,
right,
you've really cut your costs.
Isn't that a shame, people who can actually bring diabetes on themselves by their lifestyle, and
right.
And so if we can prevent that, then we can make people a lot healthier and a lot more productive and live longer lives and save us all a lot of money.
Exactly.
Can't beat that. But anyway, look into some of those things, folks, with your insurers and see if they offer any of these things. But you know, Joan, I'm imagining out in little flyover America finding finding the acupuncture guy.
Yeah?
You just don't see it. You know, you don't driving through middle America, you just don't see acupuncture here in the, you know, in the neon sign. What about the according to Kiplinger, there's going to be a shortage of medical professionals in the future.
Right, and it sort of stands to reason, because if you think about the aging population and how much more health care services we're going to need, that's going to be a problem in the coming years.
Well, you and I have reported in the past couple of years or so, how many nurses, registered nurses, we're short right now. Hundreds
right.
of thousands.
That's just one problem.
That's right. Quick break, 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. More to come with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you about our show coming up straight ahead. Jeffrey Zabar will be with us. He is one of our top home-based business experts. Jim Ballard will be with us, and he's one of the guys who helps us gain and maintain balance in our lives. And Shelley Waxman, who's a new friend. I'll tell you more about him a little bit later on. And Cherie Carter-Scott, who's an old friend, and I'll tell you more about her later on, too. Got to continue our visit with our good friend Joan Pride. And Joan, let's touch a little bit more on this medical professional situation, the shortage that we mentioned earlier. We already know that we're short a lot of RNs, and that situation doesn't seem to be getting much better. But the gold, as far as doctors are concerned, the golden age of medicine is gone. It's history, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
It's the doctors that I know tell me that it's just not fun practicing medicine anymore.
I can't imagine how it could be.
With all the lawsuits and all the insurance
that you have to deal with,
and the way they get paid these days with all the different programs that are out there for paying them, it's just a lot different.
Well, and the payments are so much lower; they have to make it all up in volume, so they can't spend any time with the patient or get to know the patient, because then the patient changes jobs, changes insurers, and then they're not on the new plan. So
exactly.
It's just crazy.
Another thing, Joan, is you know in the old days, the golden age of medicine, a lot of their patients were employed by the big plants, since they had wonderful insurance.
Right.
That paid like clockwork.
Right.
A lot of those companies, a lot of those people don't have those jobs anymore.
That's true.
In a lot of America, so things have changed.
Sure.
So it makes me wonder about the situation with doctors in the future, Joan.
Well, and we say that is going to be a problem. But here's another one. Think about pharmacists.
Yeah.
Gonna have that, and that's bad, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It takes 8 years to get through pharmacy school.
I believe it. I hope it does. I wouldn't want anybody taking a crash course in pharmacy.
Let's move over and talk about, do we want to talk about Congress spending money like drunken sailors? That's what you guys say. Have we covered that enough in the past, Joan, you think?
Well, I bet our listeners know all about this.
They know that by now, don't they?
It's just kind of a broken record here.
Once they burst the deficit bubble, and nobody wanted to be the person to burst that, but once the war did that, basically 9-1-1 and then the war did that, burst that deficit bubble. Once that happened, and it wasn't really anybody's fault, anybody on Capitol Hill's fault, they've really taken to the spending thing again, haven't they?
Oh, they were drunken sailors is a really good way to put it.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
no discipline at all.
Yeah, and so folks, when they talk about not wanting the tax cuts, the problem is more of the problem we have right now is not that we don't have enough revenue, it's that we spend too much money on the federal side. And until we fix that, the interesting thing, Joan, isn't it interesting that having a surplus, actually, where we've got more money, actually makes them tend to spend less money. That's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just kind of odd that they seem to be willing to run up these deficits now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's move on down and talk about travelers, Joan. We've got some new worries out there, some new threats to travel, some concerns. And so you guys say the travelers are going to face more security-related hassles.
Well, and if you think about what's been in the news this week, the terrorists are trying to fashion bombs out of, you know, just normal devices like a cell phone or a camera.
Yeah.
And think about the problems we've even had with shoes up till now. Think about the hassles you will have when you go to the airport and have your bags checked and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully, Joan, over the next 3 to 5 years, some new technology will be, or that's actually probably already invented. They're just perfecting it and getting it distributed right now. I know we have the ability through technology to make the flight safe. But then we have the situation that's going on right now. If you notice this week, they've arrested somebody for trying to sell missiles.
Little ones.
Yeah, little ones. Kind of you hold
and
on your held. Shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got that. And you also notice that British Airways canceled flights into Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, that's right.
For some of these, maybe these same reasons. And so once you get the loading and the flying, the operating of the airplane straightened out with technology, that still doesn't help us with people who are on the ground who want to do us harm. And Joan, the thing is that's, to me, that's all part of the war on terrorism. We got to make it unprofitable for these guys to do that.
Well, it's a tough job though.
But I think that maybe we'll start having more luck when the terrorists terrorize the countries that have typically been harboring terrorists, and have been funding terrorism, like Saudi Arabia.
And they've started to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's not real smart, is it, for the terrorists?
You heard of biting the hand that feeds you?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in like Indonesia, you know, yeah. You've got a lot of it going on over there.
Sure.
So.
And Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, Joan, by year's end, you guys say that Verizon Wireless will offer its customers in certain cities mobile high-speed access to instant messaging and other web services. Does that mean like I in those cities I can drive down the road and get online with my laptop?
You can go anywhere you want, it sounds like. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
That's what I'm looking forward to, where the whole world's a hotspot.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Right now, you have to go to a hotspot for your Wi-Fi to work.
Yeah.
And it's from this, it sounds like that will be less and less true as time goes on.
Yeah. I think that's going to be great. I tell you, I love my little Wi-Fi computer. I've got an IBM T30 ThinkPad with Wi-Fi, and I just walk around my office here. Joan, people come over, and I don't have any reason to. I just walk around with it so they know that I've got a hotspot here. I don't have much of a life, Joan. I have to get my kicks wherever I can.
Okay.
Stand by, folks. Tintail, we'll be right back with Joan Pride. We're going to talk about the economy and maybe a little bit of California right after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Joan Pride is our guest, and we're talking right now about the economy. Joan, is the refinance boom over?
Well, I'm afraid so.
And why is that? Have we wrung all of them out of the system?
Well, we've had so darn many, you know, people refinancing, you know, 3, 4, 5 times. You know, it's to the point now where people are refinancing 6% loans.
Right.
It's not like they're refinancing those old 9% and 10%
right.
loans. So the minute rates tick up just a little bit, it no longer becomes economically feasible for them to do it.
But Joan, also, as you know, and as you used to be a bond market reporter years ago, bonds, the long-term interest rates have gone up a whole percent in the last 60 days.
Right, right.
Which hasn't been good for refis.
Right. Apparently, though, houses are still selling.
Right. But that one component, that one sector of the mortgage market, the refi area, there actually is a whole group of people who are devoted to that, and there are going to be some jobs lost in that sector.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, you had to figure that that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
That was coming to an end no matter what.
Right. No question about it. Joan, let's talk about California. What do you know about what's going on out there?
That it's a mess.
Did you see that they finally come up with how many candidates are going to be on the ballot?
Is it something like 140 or something?
130-something. 131 or 2.
And did
or something
you see
like
how
that.
They're putting them on the ballot? They had to do a lottery thing. So they changed the alphabet. Instead of going A, B, C, D, Yeah. They did a lottery so that all the letters are jumbled so that
they're not alphabetical, huh?
They're not alphabetical. So thank you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Or alphabetical means something different now.
Wow. Well, and my producer Aaron says 136 is the number.
Okay. Well,
so
if we're one off, who cares?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, think about that. Including the what's the lady's name? Is she a stripper or a porn star or something? The one whose attributes precede her into her room.
Oh, really?
Have you seen her? Wears the pink and all? Apparently, she's like 105 or something like that.
But let me ask you this: I don't understand how the ballot goes. Do you vote? Do you decide to recall?
I think it's a two-parter.
It's a two-party. You decide yes or no on that, and then go down and pick one of your 136.
Right. I think so. I think that's the way it works. And
I'm assuming there would have to be a runoff.
No. That's the interesting thing.
Ooh.
Whoever gets the most votes wins, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. There's no runoff in this thing. I mean, if somebody gets the most votes, whoever gets that.
So somebody could get, 15% of the total votes and win.
I think that's the case, Joan.
Ooh.
Now, I also asked some of my experts about if this could translate into, if this could be exported into other states. And what I was told was that most states don't have the recall option.
Oh, okay.
That this happened, some of my experts earlier a few days ago reported that this happened in California because of, in the early 1900s, they created the recall option because of some things that were happening with the way the railroad was treating people out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so California is somewhat unique in that it has this. I don't know how many other states have the recall option, but apparently most states don't have that option.
Well, good, because I don't think we could go through this too many more times.
Well, that was that's the thing, the concern that a lot of people have had is that, but here's the thing, Joan, it makes me think that maybe more states might enact this. I mean, there might be enough petitions out there, people are saying, I think we want to have that.
I don't know, California's looking kind of dumb right now.
$65 million is the last estimate I saw on what it would cost to do this recall.
Wow.
Can you imagine the printing cost of this ballot?
I'm dying to see what it's going to look like.
Are you going to get us a copy of it, Joan?
I will do my best.
So who's going to win, Joan? Is Gray Davis? Well, let me back up. Is Gray
How
Davis
Gary Coleman?
Is Gray Davis going to be recalled?
Well, see, I still am holding out the possibility that he could possibly resign for the good of the party.
But can he actually do that now?
Why not?
At this late date?
Why not?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know
of any reason why he couldn't. I guess you're right.
I don't see why any public official
what you're
can't
saying
resign
is
at any point.
If he resigned, then Bustamante
then no recall.
Would become the governor automatically.
I think he would.
By the way, they hate each other, apparently.
Yes, that's right.
That's
I've heard that.
Thing. Yeah.
They haven't told me that, but I've heard that.
So who's going to be the governor, Joan? 3 months from now, who's going to be the governor?
Not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's
you really,
my prediction.
Is that your call now?
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be the governor of California this time.
And you disagree?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thanks, Joan.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.